Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 53 of Macabre Misfortunes. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
So Tracy, this episode we're doing today, it's probably a little early to be doing for an Easter episode, but we actually were doing a collaboration and recorded this for a collaboration with a bunch of other true crime podcasters. And I thought the story fit for one of our Macabre Misfortune episodes.
Yeah.
And since we had already recorded it,
yeah,
it was just easier just to go ahead and use that for this week's episode. So we're going to use that recording that we did for the collaboration, and that's also going to be the episode for Macabre Misfortunes for this week. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, guys. My name's Jerry.
And Tracy.
We are Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now, we don't do a lot of true crime on our show, but for this Easter collaboration, I actually had one that's semi-close to home that I was made aware of 4 or 5 years ago. And I actually went to the house where this murder took place.
Did I go with you?
No, you did not.
Oh.
So I thought this one, you know, for being an Easter story, this was the perfect one to do.
Okay.
And we're going to jump right into this. This is actually known around the country as the Easter Sunday Massacre. And it happened in Hamilton, Ohio, which is a little city that's kind of adjacent to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of in that area. Man, it's a tough story, and it's one that we've only got 10 minutes to do, so we're going to jump into some story on this. So what happened was, I'll give you the basics. Easter Sunday, March 30th, 1975, that's when 41-year-old James Rupert fatally shot 11 members of his own family in his mother's house at 635 Minor Avenue in Hamilton, Ohio. Now, that is, from my understanding, still the largest one-family massacre to ever happen in the United States.
That's
11
horrible.
People from the same family. So, what was the deal here? What's the problem? Well, let's talk about James Rupert, first of all. He had a troubled life, like a lot of people do. That doesn't mean you go out and kill your entire family, but just to give you some stuff that he dealt with in his background, when he was a kid, his mother, Charity, told him that she would have preferred that he would have been a daughter because that's what she wanted. But instead, she got him.
Wow.
His dad, Leonard, was very abusive, had a really short temper, and he didn't really care much for his two sons, Leonard. Actually died, though, in 1947, and that's when James and his brother, Leonard Jr., were actually 12 and 14, respectively, were left without a father. Well, Leonard Jr. became the father figure in the family, and he constantly picked on James during their upbringing. He would often taunt him about being a weakling, and at 16 years old, James was so dissatisfied with his home life, he ran away and attempted to commit suicide by hanging himself with a sheet. He was unsuccessful and returned home.
Man, that's terrible.
As an adult, he was only 5'6 and weighed 135 pounds. He was very average man,
mm-hmm.
just kind of plain, kind of quiet. And he's lost a lot of money that he did have in the stock market crash of 73 and 74. So at 40 years old, he's living back with his mom, who was constantly harassing him about how he didn't pay rent and he needed to have his own place and she was going to evict him. You know, he's already down on his luck, 40 years old, already had a tough life. And to add insult to injury, his brother, Leonard Jr., had an engineering degree. He had his own home that he bought in Fairfield, which is the neighboring city to Hamilton. And he had 8 children and everything seemed to be going great. Oh, and Leonard Jr.'s wife? Was at one time James's girlfriend.
Man, oh man.
So it's an ex-girlfriend that his brother married.
What in the heck is happening here?
So about a month before the massacre, James had inquired about buying silencers for some weapons that he had while he was buying some ammunition. He also started doing some other strange stuff, like on March 29th, 1975, which was his 41st birthday, witnesses had seen him doing some target practicing with his .22 pistol and a .22 rifle along the banks of the Great Miami River in Hamilton. That's a no-no. You can't do that out in public.
No, I wouldn't think so.
The night before the murders, James actually went out drinking, which he did almost every night. He went to the 19th Hole Cocktail Lounge, and he talked with an employee there, 28-year-old Wanda Bishop. She had later went on to say that James was frustrated about his home life and was tired of his mother talking about evicting him all the time, and he needed to solve the problem.
Hmm.
He left at the bar at about 11 o'clock. He came back, stayed at the bar till about 2:30, and Wanda Bishop said she asked him, well, did you solve the problem? He said, no, not yet. The next day is Easter Sunday. And I'll tell you the full details of what happened on Easter right after this sponsor break. Leonard Jr., his wife Alma, and all of their 8 children, ages 4 to 17, were at dinner at the Minor Avenue house,
uh-huh.
His mom's house. James did not come down. While they were down there doing the regular Easter stuff and doing an Easter egg hunt and stuff on the lawn, James stayed upstairs in his room. But at about 4 o'clock, he loaded his .357 Magnum, his two .22 caliber handguns and a rifle, and then he went downstairs. That's where Charity, his mom, was in the kitchen preparing sloppy joes. Not the most traditional of Easter meals,
yeah.
But that's what she was doing.
Gross at any meal.
Leonard Jr. and his wife, Alma, were in the room. Most of the other kids were in the living room. But so it was those three in the kitchen, and James walked down, and he shot Leonard Jr. in the head. Then shot his wife, Alma, and as his mom lunged at him, he shot her twice in the chest and once in the head. He then turned the corner to the other room, and he killed 11-year-old David, 9-year-old Teresa, 13-year-old Carol. Then he went into the living room where James shot his remaining nieces and nephews, Anne, who was 12, Leonard III, 17, and Michael, 16, Thomas, 15, and the youngest, John, who was 4. He then sat on the couch, and he waited 3 hours before he called the police and said, someone's been shot. And when the police showed up, he was waiting out there on the porch for them. They said you couldn't hardly even walk through the small house because there were so many bodies in the floor. And this a small house. I bet this isn't a 700-square-foot house.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was 11 bodies in there. Sad situation. Obviously, he wasn't right in the mind. He said that he committed every one of the murders in less than 10 minutes.
Wow.
I've heard other reports that said less than 5 minutes. Wikipedia says 2 minutes. But he said it was 10 minutes. He ends up getting a trial. They had to move it 175 miles north because they said they didn't think he would get a fair trial. He was convicted of 11 murders. Now, they had, in a short period of about 4-year period, had did away with the death penalty in Ohio. So he didn't get the death penalty.
Wow.
He got 11 consecutive life sentences in jail. Back in 82, I should say, he got another trial, and they ended up only convicting him of 3 of the murders.
How is that possible?
Well, they convicted him of 3 of the murders, and the other ones were by insanity. I don't know how you can kill some by insanity and not.
You can't differentiate right. that at all.
But he was in jail, and he tried to get parole back in 1995 when he was 61 years old. That was turned down. It was again turned down when he was 71, and again when he was 81. He was denied release on all those. But he actually died last year, June 4th of 2022, of 88 years old of natural causes.
Oh my gosh. That is crazy.
But that is the story of the Easter Massacre. And, you know, I was telling you, when I found out about that story about 5 years ago, I used to do a lot of work in Hamilton.
Yeah.
I had a location that I worked at in Hamilton, and somebody told me about it. And then I got the address and went over there and checked it out. And it's just a basic little two-story white house that sits, you know.
Are people living in that house?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and wow. Actually, it's funny because I saw a news article. It was a video. And they talked to the woman that lived in the house because they were curious if she had any paranormal activity or anything in the house that had, you know, ever disturbed her or if it bothered her living there. And this was, I think she moved in, when she was living there when they did the interview, it was about 20 years after the massacre. So it was 1995, I think.
Mm-hmm. But she knew, though, right?
She knew, but she said that she didn't experience anything at all. And, you know, it was just strange knowing that that happened, but it didn't affect their day-to-day lives.
Dude, I don't know how you could do that. How could you knowingly know that and just be okay to, I don't know, I cannot do it.
I don't know, because you know blood soaked into the wood
gosh,
and everything on the floors.
Mm-mm.
And so.
That's a horrible story.
Well, all right, guys, thank you so much for listening to us, and I guess happy Easter.
Bok, bok.
And give Hillbilly Horror Stories a listen if you get a chance.
Bye.